Good morning. It's 8:30 on Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Kobe Vance, in for Desiree Frazier, and this is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, a coalition of religious and nonprofit groups is rallying for full Medicaid expansion in Mississippi, calling it a moral imperative. Then, from the Gulf States newsroom, a former New Orleans police chief is pushing for changes to federal marijuana rules. Plus, civil rights activists are gathering signatures to oust the sheriff of Rankin County for his lack of oversight over the Goon Squad. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Several hundred faith leaders and nonprofit groups representing 40 different communities across Mississippi rallied on the steps of the state capitol Tuesday with one message to legislators: to fully expand Medicaid. The religious leaders from the several faiths want Medicaid expanded to cover residents who earn up to 138% of the federal poverty level, such as an individual who makes just over $20,000 a year. Reverend Reginald Buckley, pastor of Cade Chapel Baptist Church in Jackson, was one of several dozen speakers at the rally. He says God wants all of his people to have a whole life that's abundant and healthy.
As a state that is proud of its pro-life stance, it is only fitting that this legislature now leans into the opportunity to make it possible for all Mississippians across this state to have full access to health care. Because ultimately, this is a matter of life. A matter of life for the more than estimated 166,000 Mississippians who would be eligible for health care under full expansion. I want you to think about that. 166,000. That's the population of Greenwood, Hattiesburg, Vicksburg, and Madison combined. 166,000. These are the lives of babies and their mothers, teachers, farmers, roofers, artists, daycare providers, all who contribute to the quality of life for this great state. And all of them and all of us need for this legislature to say yes. Yes to their contributions. Yes to their humanity. Yes to life. Full expansion now.
The Reverend Jeff Parker, pastor of Southside Baptist Church in Jackson, tells our Will Stribling that it's a moral imperative to care for the working poor in the state.
It's a basic right of humanity. You know, it's just in the core of our being, programmed into us to care about each other. You know, it's just who we are. It's our makeup. It's our DNA.
Some people view this issue in terms of political leanings as a mistake, that that being for Medicaid expansion doesn't mean you are not a conservative, you are not a Republican politically. Can you talk a bit about how that frame of mind has shaped discussion around this issue?
You know, let's face it, suburban, more affluent, is to become detached from the broken, the hurting, the poor, those that are just struggling to make ends meet. There is no way a person, let's say somebody's making $10 an hour. You know, somebody may say, well, you know, the 40-hour week, that's $400. But the bottom line is inflation and the grocery store, everything, they have no way. It is impossible. We see this in families in our churches. We see this every day in the city of Jackson. People who no way can afford any coverage whatsoever. If you can't have full expansion, then these people fall through the cracks. Hospitals are picking it up and they can't do that. I said it this way. Sometimes we want to slap the hand of the government as to our conservative fiscal policies when it comes to humanitarian issues, while at the same time we hold a tight fist when it comes to the church's resources, which can sometimes be extravagantly squandered away.
Mississippi lawmakers have very different views on how to extend health care coverage. The House approach could extend benefits as many as 200,000 people, while the Senate version would include around 40,000. Legislators are preparing to negotiate a final plan with three members from each chamber, trying to iron out the final product. Coming up from the Gulf States newsroom, a former New Orleans police chief is pushing for changes to federal marijuana rules. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
What's happening at the Mississippi Legislature? Tune in each week to At Issue on MPB Think Radio. I'm Michael Guidry. Join us as we take an inside look at the legislative session and get perspectives from both sides of the aisle. At Issue airs on MPB Think Radio every Friday night at 6:30 through the end of the session. And subscribe to the At Issue podcast so you can listen anytime, anywhere. MPB's At Issue. Tune in, Mississippi.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kobe Vance, in for Desiree Frazier. A former New Orleans police chief is calling on President Biden to support changing how marijuana is classified in the U.S. Federal health officials recently urged the Drug Enforcement Administration to make big changes to its rules. They recommended moving marijuana to a less serious category of the controlled substance law. The DEA is looking into it. Ronald Serpas is one of 32 law enforcement leaders who signed a letter to the president in support of that change. The Gulf States Newsroom's Kat Stromquist spoke to the former head of the NOPD about what it would mean for criminal justice.
So you're a career law enforcement guy who now teaches and heads this Law Enforcement Leaders to Reduce Crime and Incarceration. What got you interested in marijuana policy?
Well, it begins with I grew up in the 70s. And many people of my age group obviously smoked marijuana, and I would never say that I didn't. So I'm familiar with it not only as an academic and a professor and a police officer, but, you know, as a young person, I smoked marijuana as well. Across the country, what's really become more interesting to myself and my colleagues in law enforcement, my colleagues in academia, is that so far 38 states have made a statement in one form or another what they think about the construction of marijuana is in America. And it's changing. The next level of it is what do you do once the laws are passed? And many of my colleagues who are retired like I am now, but who were in the middle of this when it first started, recognize that if the public decides to make marijuana legal, then the rest of the system should adopt to it, which would help reduce the illegal market. So kind of the point here for those of us who think this way, not my entire organization, obviously, but those of us who think this way, is that by making this recommendation of the government to move it to a Schedule 3, it may help us in the enforcement of the illegal market.
Yeah, so you joined dozens of colleagues to ask the Biden administration to change marijuana from a Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 substance. And federal health officials want that too. What exactly do those schedules mean?
Well, the Controlled Dangerous Substance Act lays out essentially levels of potential harm to people using drugs that have high addictive qualities. Schedule 1 right now would be crimes like heroin, LSD, ecstasy, and those types of crimes. Marijuana is currently still a Schedule 1 crime. Schedule 3, which is far lower potential for physical or psychological dependence, would be where we think marijuana and the government thinks it could fall. Thus, it wouldn't be a significant violation of controlled dangerous substance. It would be seen as something maybe not as benign as Tylenol or codeine under prescription, but it would not be the same as what it has is now, heroin, LSD, ecstasy, etc.
I mean, the thing that makes me curious about that is if the schedule change happens, what will it mean for prosecutions?
Well, they would fall off of the category of crimes that would result in potential sanction and loss of freedom. Through that change, it would be clear to the criminal justice system that this is not a focus of the American public any longer. Think about it from the point of view of a citizen, because if you're a citizen in a state where it's legalized for medicinal use or personal use, people could be very confused if they ran across a federal investigation of them doing something that they can do legally in their state. It's just a confusing circumstance, and I think that the American people have spoken.
So what do you think is coming down the pike for this? What do you think, you know, weed policy and enforcement will look like in 5 or 10 years?
My personal opinion only. 15 years ago, this was not getting much attention. 20 years ago, this wasn't even really discussed about. 30 years ago, this was a flat-out violation of the law, not unlike other violations of the law. So you can see the pendulum has swung. So what would be the future on the other side of the pendulum? Not quite sure yet. But the central question of moving the pendulum away from enforcement has been made by 38 states already.
That's former New Orleans Police Chief Ronald Serpas speaking with the Gulf States Newsroom's Kat Stromquist about why he's calling on the Biden administration to support moving marijuana to a less serious category of controlled substance law. Coming up, civil rights activists are gathering signatures to oust the sheriff of Rankin County for his lack of oversight over the Goon Squad. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Classical, jazz, indie, blues, folk, bluegrass, whatever you call your music. Find it on MPB Music Radio, on mpbonline.org, or the MPB Public Media app, or on an HD radio.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kobe Vance, in for Desiree Frazier. Civil rights activists are gathering signatures in Rankin County as part of a petition requesting the governor to oust Sheriff Brian Bailey. Five former officers of the Rankin County Sheriff's Office, who called themselves the Goon Squad, recently pled guilty to federal and state charges and have been sentenced to decades in federal prison for the torture and assault of two black men. During testimony, many of the former officers claimed there is a culture of violence in the department. And while Sheriff Bailey has denied any knowledge of the actions of the so-called Goon Squad under his watch, some question his leadership and accountability practices. Our Mike McEwen speaks with Angela English, head of the Rankin County NAACP, about why Bailey is still in office. She says Bailey ran unopposed in last November's general election and seemingly will not be stepping down voluntarily.
The so-called Rankin County Goon Squad was a direct result of the type of culture that has been allowed to fester and manifest itself within the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. Knowing that it did not just begin with that January 2023 brutal beating and torture of Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, we know that there have been decades of atrocities being committed, and some of these atrocities that have occurred over at least more than a decade ago were done under the watchful eye of Brian Bailey. He was the sheriff and is still the current sheriff. So we watch very carefully how our leaders conduct themselves, both locally and nationally. And we believe that once you are made supervisor over employees, your job is to make sure that your employees are following the proper protocol and procedures, and especially as it relates to the lives of other people. So just like we see CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, when things occur that have affected or could have affected the lives of people, they then resign because they know that ultimately all of that goes back to their leadership. And it was poor leadership. And we believe that Brian Bailey has exhibited and still exhibits poor leadership qualities.
And what's the status of that petition now? I believe in order for the governor to remove a sheriff, 30% of registered voters in any given county, in this case Rankin, have to sign that petition. Where are y'all at in making progress on that?
We're not going to report how many signatures we have, but we will tell you that the momentum has significantly increased, and we have been bombarded with calls to sign the petitions. We've had people of all races and all religious backgrounds and all socio and economic backgrounds who have voluntarily taken petitions and had them filled out and brought them back. So when I tell you momentum has really kicked in. It has really kicked in since these Goon Squad members have been sentenced.
What do you think about the sentencing? You know, what came out in those 3 days might have spread attention on the case and in the sheriff's department and maybe motivated more people to get involved with the petition.
I believe that seeing the former officers actually in their jail attire and hearing them give their version of, in their apology statement, of what happened that caused them to maybe do these horrific things, admitting that they did them, and then their attorneys coming forward saying that their clients told them that they were told that they would have, that the only way to rise up in the ranks were to do these things, and you had to work on that night shift, that evening or night shift. So when people actually heard the accounts read out loud of what happened to not only Michael and Eddie, but the young white male, Mr. Smith, I believe those were the turning points for a lot of Rankin Countyans who may have been still unsure and some in just disbelief that this really happened.
Is there any concern on your behalf or your organization's behalf? You know, 5 of the 6 officers sentenced were Rankin County Sheriff's officers in different ranks and roles, but there are, I think, almost 200 more employees in the department, even with those 5 sentenced. And with Brian Bailey still in power, is there any concern that this culture, as it was described in court, might continue and that it might be continuing and we're just not aware of it?
There is a great concern, which is why we are doing all that we can do legally to have him removed, because the venom in a snake is in its head region. If the head is not right, the body is not right. As long as we've got the wrong person being the head of the department and who has made them feel so comfortable that they can do this, yes, and no, we don't believe those are the only 5 Rankin County Sheriff's deputies. We'd have to be very naive if we thought that they were the only members of the Goon Squad. No, there are others. And he is the person who makes them feel comfortable. You know, he created this environment. He created this culture. And as long as he's there, there is no changing.
I see that your organization, the Rankin County NAACP, has requested that the Department of Justice launch an investigation into the sheriff's office. Could you just explain that a little more and why y'all made that request?
We made that request because we believe that the only way that this is going to be incidents that are not being exposed, or that have not been exposed, are going to be exposed is through a non-biased party, law enforcement agency. So we have requested that they continue to look into the pattern and practice of this department. And this investigation, I was told, is ongoing. So it is not this, it's not the end just because those 5 officers, former officers, have been sentenced. This is an ongoing investigation by the Department of Justice, and we are so thankful for that.
Angela English is the president of the Rankin County chapter of the NAACP. This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.